I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Winner, will you take roll?
Chair Brown?
Present.
Vice Chair Arascada?
There.
Regent Carvalho?
Here.
Regent Downs?
Here.
Regent Fernandez? You do have a quorum.
Thank you so much. Before we begin, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and Nuu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. For those of you who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 961-6251-7764 and enter passcode 555-555. Is there any public comment here at UNR? Seeing none, SES, is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no public comment callers at this time.
Thank you so much. We're going to move on to the agenda item number 2 minutes. I'd like to hear a motion to consider the approval of the December minutes.
Motion for approval.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion by Regent Arascada, second by Downs. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That passes. All right, now we're moving into number 3, and it's the chair's report. So I wanted to take a moment to not just open this meeting, but to set a tone. As chair of the Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access Committee, I don't see this as simply a leadership role, but I see it as a moral one, a duty to lead with clarity, with courage, and with conviction. We are living in a time that will be studied, will be remembered, and will be judged, a time where hatred is loud and empathy is scarce, a time when some find it easier to look away, to stay silent, to avoid the discomfort of confronting injustice. But history has taught us over and over that silence, especially in moments of pain and persecution, is never neutral. Silence has never saved lives. It has never opened doors. It has never built bridges. It has only ever enabled harm. We cannot let that happen on our watch. We must not be silent, not here within the Nevada system of higher education. ENCHI is the cornerstone for opportunity in our state. What we do here touches every zip code, every campus, and every classroom. This committee's work is not performative, it's transformative. Our campuses must be places of belonging, of affirmation, of humanity. And right now, in a world too quick to other people based on how they look, who they love, where they are born, how they vote, how they worship, or whether they can afford to be here, we must remember our charge. As regents, we represent them all. It is time to come closer, to listen harder, and to say clearly and unapologetically, you matter, you're valued, and you are safe here. To every student, staff, and faculty member who has ever felt unseen, I see you. To those who have felt unwelcome, I'm working every day to build a system that feels like home. And to those who are exhausted from having to explain your identity, your pain, or your perspective, I believe you. And those carrying invisible burdens into our classrooms and campuses, you are not alone. You do not have to earn your humanity here. This system, this committee, and this chair will never ask anyone to shrink who they are to belong. Your full self is welcome. Moreover, this committee will not allow fear or division to take root in our policies, our practices, or our hearts. We cannot create silos that isolate. We will not be passive participants in the loss of dignity. We will hold a mirror up to ourselves and ask, are we truly welcoming? Are we truly equitable? And are we truly living our mission? This committee does not exist to check a box. It exists to bend the arc of this system towards justice. That means confronting inequalities in outcomes. It means uplifting voices of those too often ignored. And it means shaping environments where students, faculty, and staff don't just survive, they thrive. It also means this: diversity is not a liability to be managed. It is our greatest asset. Inclusion is not an event. Equity is not a buzzword. Access is not a favor. These are essential principles grounded in justice, in economic opportunities, and yes, in love. And love, I believe, is the most radical act of leadership we can practice right now. To lead with love doesn't mean we ignore hard truths. It means we confront them with care. It means we build a culture where people don't have to be perfect to be respected, where differences are not feared but embraced. I'm not interested in maintaining status quo that leaves people behind. I'm here to help us move forward. So let this be an evergreen promise to the people of Nevada. I see you, I value you, and I will stand up for you. This is not about politics, it's about people. This is not about one community, it's about all of our communities. And again, it's not about checking a box, it's about changing lives. So to those of you who already lead with inclusion in your hearts, thank you. Let's keep moving forward together. Let's continue building a better Nevada together. Thank you. All right. We are going to move on to agenda item number 4. We've got the Northern Nevada Diversity Summit. So we've got some folks from UNR. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Chair Brown, esteemed members of the board in this committee, and all persons attending this meeting. Thank you for this opportunity to share highlights from the 2025 Northern Nevada Diversity Summit, hosted at the University of Nevada, Reno, in partnership with Great Basin College, Truckee Meadows Community College, and Western Nevada College, and with the active support and participation of members of our sister institutions in the South, the 2025 Summit welcomed faculty, staff, students, and community members from across the entire state of Nevada to engage in a day-long examination of the individual, community, and system-level factors that influence the health and well-being of all Nevadans. The summit theme,
you are in the meeting now,
health and well-being, exploring circumstance, community, and culture, served the intentional purpose of highlighting a topic that is of universal importance and inviting all Nevadans to bring their professional knowledge and the wisdom derived from their diverse lived experiences, social connections, and cultural perspectives to the day-long exploration of health and well-being. This year's summit can accurately be described as successful in a myriad of ways. More than 600 persons registered for the event, with 480 persons attending in person and 150 attending virtually. Attendees included faculty, staff, students, and administrators from NSHE's institutions, as well as the NSHE system office. We can also celebrate the participation of community representatives who hold positions outside of higher education. Some attendees included representatives from Catholic Charities of Northern Nevada, the Northern Nevada International Center, the Reno Housing Authority, Northern Nevada Public Health, the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, the Nevada Department of Education, and both Washoe County and Clark County school districts. Notably, 339 registrants identified the 2025 summit as the first summit they ever attended, reflecting the immediate relevance of issues related to diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility to summit attendees, and their appreciation for the complex interplay among these issues and their influence on the health and well-being of all Nevadans. With this year's summit serving as the first summit offered during my tenure as Executive Director of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion here at the University of Nevada, Reno, I am particularly heartened and humbled by feedback regarding the excellence evidenced in both the planning and implementation of the 2025 summit. The day began with moments of both cultural and spiritual significance. Daphne M. Hooper, director of the University of Nevada, Reno Office of Indigenous Relations, offered a land acknowledgement and an opening prayer, connecting attendees to the importance of place and traditions and stewardship of the natural resources that serve as sources of health, well-being, and livelihood for so many Nevadans. We were then honored to bear witness to a series of very vibrant jingle dress dances that were introduced and explained by two of our University of Nevada, Reno undergraduate students and performed by our students and other members of the Indigenous community. The importance of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility to our state and to INSHE's vision and mission for higher education was made patently obvious during the welcoming remarks offered by the University of Nevada, Reno President Brian Sandoval, INSHE Chancellor Patty Charlton, Great Basin College President Amber Donnelly, Truckee Meadows Community College former President Karen Hilgersum, and U.S. Senator for Nevada Jackie Rosen. Their participation reinforced the alignment among institutional leaders, INSHE administration, and state government in supporting maximally inclusive and responsive learning environments. The 2025 keynote address was delivered by Dr. Bio Curry-Winchell, a practicing physician, a health equity advocate, and proud alumna of both the University of Nevada, Reno and the University of Nevada, Reno School of Medicine. Dr. Curry-Winchell, known to many as Dr. Bio, serves as the medical director of urgent care and clinics at St. Mary's Regional Medical Center and has served on both the Reno Mayor's Task Force and the Governor's Medical Advisory Team during the COVID-19 pandemic. She is nationally recognized for her public health outreach and was recently honored as the Health Advocate of the Year by the Reno Sparks NAACP. Dr. Bio's keynote address reflected both personal vulnerability and professional expertise. She offered powerful stories of navigating discrimination within the medical system at institutions that could be claimed as hers, given her training and her work at these institutions, and at the same time affirming the importance of culturally responsive healthcare. Attendees described the keynote as brave, informative, and energizing, with many noting that it was the most impactful part of the summit of their summit experience. With 59 workshops, research presentations, and poster sessions on offer, one message that dominated the feedback on the day was that attendees experienced the summit as offering an overabundance of opportunities to engage with the summit theme across different disciplines, communities, and lived experiences. Numbered among the 72 summit presenters were 32 faculty and staff presenters representing a multitude of academic disciplines, as well as our offices for student services, evaluation, outreach, and administration, and 12 presenters from community partners and external collaborators, including nonprofit leaders, health professionals, and INSHE affiliates. This range of contributors ensured that the day's content reflected diverse identities, diverse lived experiences, and diverse professional approaches to health and wellness, reinforcing the summit's inclusive purpose and reach. At the heart of all that we do as members of INSHE institution are our students. Over 140 undergraduate and graduate students attended the 2025 Northern Nevada Diversity Summit, with 40 students participating as presenters, performers, and speech competition entrants. One very important element of the annual summit is that speech competition. This year's competition invited students across Northern Nevada institutions to reflect and address in their speech the theme, Building a Healthier Future, Perspectives on Health and Well-Being Across Communities. First, second, and third place winners of the competition were identified by members of the Northern Nevada Diversity Summit Planning Committee. All members were recognized during the summit's closing ceremony, with the first place winner, Anisha Makija, a second-year medical student at the University of Nevada, Reno School of Medicine, being invited to perform her speech as part of the closing ceremony. Consistent with past years, this year's student speech competition served as a platform for elevating student voices, honoring student leadership in advancing the values of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility across all of Nevada, and advancing the workforce development goals of our system of higher education and of our state. We also honored recipients of the 2025 Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility Leadership Award, which recognized individuals advancing equity access equity and access across INCHI. The award recipient for the year 2025 was Dr. Lydia Huerta, an associate professor and chair of the Department of Gender, Race, and Identity. And two of our faculty members were honored posthumously, and those faculty members were Dr. Todd Feltz and Dr. Merton Runningwolf. These student and faculty recognitions were made possible through generous support of campus and community partners who are committed to advancing equity and inclusion across Nevada's higher education system. The 2025 summit ended with another celebration of culture through dance, with a performance by Cima de Plata, a dance group comprised of University of Nevada, Reno faculty, graduate students, and undergraduate students. Our campus and community partners were very generous in their support of the summit, both with respect to monetary donations and their presence at the summit. In total, campus and community partners donated $18,000 in support of the summit. This translated to nearly 50% of the total cost of the event. Our deepest appreciation to Truckee Meadows Community College and Western Nevada College, the Northern Nevada International Center, Renown Health and Hometown Health, NV Energy, the Sandra A. Dougherty Foundation, the Joe Crowley Student Union, the Associated Students of the University of Nevada, A State of Calm, a local business, Carniceria Tre Amigos, another local business, and Prude and Bougie, yet a third local business. Post-event evaluations suggested that summit attendees were very satisfied with their experiences at the event, with 41% rating their experience as good and an additional 54% rating their experience as excellent. Nearly 90% of attendees indicated they would attend the Northern Nevada Diversity Summit again in the future. Written comments from the attendees included, "This was my first time attending. I couldn't stop talking about how wonderful it was." And another comment, "There were so many strong sessions. I'd love to see this expanded to 2 days in the future." That's my response. Of course, these comments reflect the efforts of so many different groups and individuals, chief among whom are the 25 volunteers who made the summit such a welcoming, inclusive, and celebratory event. I am most indebted to members of the Northern Nevada Diversity Summit Planning Committee, comprised of members of the INCHI Idea Council and University of Nevada, Reno Affinity Group leaders and members, and to the woman who stands beside me for her unwavering and exceedingly skilled support of my efforts related to the summit and all activities occurring through and with the support of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Please know that Cheyenne, who you guys think of as totally sweet, has threatened to do me bodily harm if I turn and invite her to speak. Just so you know. The next Northern Nevada Diversity Summit is scheduled for April 15, 2026. We are actively considering the possibility of extending the event to 2 days to allow attendees a deeper engagement through participation in a greater number of offered sessions. For more than a decade, the Northern Nevada Diversity Summit and the Southern Nevada Diversity Summit have served as shining examples of institutions of higher learning in our state coming together to support the exchange of knowledge and clinical expertise around issues that are pressing importance to all Nevadans. We are also committed to aligning the goals of the 2026 summit with NSHE's goals around educational access, retention to graduation, and workforce development. On behalf of the entire planning team, I want to thank you for your continued support. We look forward to continued work together, and I am happy to answer questions.
Thank you so much. It sounds like it'll be an amazing 2 days in the future. I'm going to open it up to regents on the committee to see if you have any questions or comments.
Yep. Thank you so much for that. Your presentation and inserting a little bit of humor in there too. I appreciate that. That's very important for us. I was not able to attend this year's summit, but I have attended some in the past, and they are days of great reflection and working together and love and kindness. And I think that that's something that's very important for us to remember. So thank you for that reminder. And thank you for your presentation today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I'll just echo, Melanie, just thank you and your staff for working with the Ideal Council, working with our other institutions. I know the South will hold one in the spring, or I'm sorry, fall. I know seasons. And I'll also say the same as Chair Carvalho. I didn't get a chance to come this year, but I have gone in previous years, and it really is a special day. Maybe in the future, if you guys have other topics that come up, we'd love to hear about where you think new programming will come from and see how we can echo that here in this committee. Awesome. Thank you. All right. We are going to move on to agenda item number 5. And I'll invite the members of the task force to the podium.
Thank you, Chair Brown, Regents. My name is Jose Melendres, and I am the Interim Vice President for Diversity Initiatives and Chief Diversity Officer at UNLV. It has been my honor to serve and work as a part of the Task Force on Jewish Identity and Inclusion at UNLV that was initially supported and put forward through former President Whitfield and now Interim President Chris Heavey. So we are grateful to them for their continued support as we move forward on this. Presenting with me today, or presenting from our group, is Dr. Roberta Sabbath, an Associate Professor in Residence, Department of English. She is a co-chair of the Jewish Task Force. Ms. Catherine Huddleston, who is the Director of Hillel of Nevada, Jewish Nevada, and Dr. Gregory Brown, Professor of History. Our presentation will lay out several different related initiatives underway for the past year and a half at UNLV around Jewish identity and inclusion. Underlying purpose can be expressed with a quote from one of our students who stated, "Our goal is being to normalize Jewish identity at UNLV." On a personal note, this has probably been one of the best and exciting projects that I've been a part of in my year and 6 months in this role, to serve our campus community, creating places of inclusion and engagement for students and ensuring and moving forward their success. Another key component for me in this work has been the involvement and engagement of both faculty, staff, students, and several community partners in the work of the task force.
Thank you, Jose. So this image that you see here on the screen is an image of Gaia Steinberg, a recent UNLV graduate at just 20 years old. At the time, she was our president of our Hillel chapter. Last year, Gaia formed and led the Jewish and Israeli Student Coalition, which was a collaboration of RSOs on campus. This photo was taken several weeks ago at UNLV's Festival of Communities, where she performed the Israeli national anthem, Hatikvah, as well as a song she wrote about a family she knows personally who were victims of October 7th Hamas attacks. And she also performed a song she had adapted from a poem written by a Hungarian woman who rescued Jews during the Holocaust. This image illustrates a unique opportunity that this initiative as a whole presents for UNLV and hopefully for the larger state as a whole. Another university that same week was in the news for water bottles being thrown at Jewish students on their way to class. At many institutions nationally, Jewish students have been made to feel unwelcome in multicultural events such as this, but thankfully not at UNLV. Gaia's performance at the festival illustrates that resilience, the talent, and attitude of the Jewish rebel community, and the importance of the work we are doing to recognize Jewish identity and promote the inclusion of the Jewish community in broader efforts of this whole area.
And we will push for the next slide. Great. Hello, I'm Roberta Sabbath. It's such an honor to be here and to speak, and thank you so much for giving us this chance to explain what we're doing and our important work together, our successful work together. This slide shows the broad coalition of campus leaders who are steering this initiative. I won't read all the names. You can take a look yourself and notice the depth and the diversity of the various parts of our university. These initiatives and groups of people and goals, which are long-standing on our campus, and I can attest to this because in 1976, as a student, I founded the UNLV chapter of Hillel at the Jewish Student Union, and I still have the plaque to prove it, which I will happily pass. It's antiquities. It's like a whatever. thanks to the Jewish Federation and the support then and now Jewish Nevada. And I'm proud to have been a part of building over the years in teaching through various courses I've taught and projects I've worked on. Over the past year and a half, I've been a part of this group that has come together and given a new priority of these efforts. Our goal is not short-term, it is long-term, but it is to identify a strategic goal for our university. The diversity of the group listed on the screen here makes a point that we consider central. Our effort is not to advance one group of students or one part of our community. Our leadership group represents collectively decades of involvement as UNLV campus leaders, and we take pride in our service to the institution and by extension to the system.
So as Roberta noted, the important thing we want to start with is that this is not a new set of goals. When I served as faculty senate chair and then as vice provost in the early 2010s, we tried to launch a Jewish faculty group, and we also wrote a proposal for outside funding for Jewish studies. Kat has been involved in Jewish life for two decades as a student and as a community member. In 2017, Roberta helped to create the program in religious studies, and at that time invited me to work with her towards building Jewish studies and Holocaust and genocide education. All of those were efforts that were well underway, but all these efforts were really reinvigorated in the fall of 2023, and that really started with the leadership of our students, including Gaia, in the aftermath of the Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel, which accelerated an already worrisome trend in the environment nationally and locally for Jewish identity and inclusion, especially on college campuses. Kat and the Jewish Federation at that time helped Roberta and I gather together faculty and staff to discuss what our role could be. And at that time, the arrival of Jose as interim VP for diversity helped us tremendously. We had longstanding relationships, and he helped us gain recognition in early 2024 as the Jewish faculty staff group as part of the Affinity Group program. That's chaired by Dr. Robert Levrant, Senior Advisor for Strategic Initiatives in Academic Affairs and also adjunct faculty in College of Ed.
In August of 2024, at the suggestion of Vice President Melendres, Then President Whitfield and then Provost, now President Heavey, charged a task force on Jewish identity and inclusion and designated myself and Greg as co-chairs, along with VP for Health Sciences, Mark Kahn. We convinced an initial group of 20 individuals, administrators, faculty, students, and community members. The task force submitted a mission statement, identified five tasks areas: data collection and analysis, policy reviews and recommendations, outreach to other campus constituencies and community partners, education and awareness, and programming and curricular development around Jewish identity, history, and culture. And this mission statement and the action items and announcement of the task force are on the packet at your for the reference.
So then in November of last year, the task force recommended and the president and provost agreed that UNLV should apply to join the sixth cohort of the Hillel Campus Climate Initiative. It's a national program to study, analyze, and act to improve the campus environment for Jewish students and all students. We were accepted into that program, and it began in February of 2025 this year. We have a designated core team, which consists of Jose, of myself, of Rob Levrant, whom I mentioned, Diana Moreno-Cantino, Associate Vice President for Student Life, Kim Neals, Special Assistant to the President, and then we were later joined by Barbara Sanders from the Office of Compliance. And the press release announcing our entry into that program is also in your packet, as well as some more information about that program. In the spring of 24, our faculty staff group also became affiliated with what's known as the Academic Engagement Network. This is a national organization that supports faculty and administrators in building community, developing academic activity, and responding to anti-Semitism. The Academic Engagement Network has several components, one of which is the faculty engagement component, which is called Faculty Against Anti-Semitism. That works nationally in collaboration with Hillel and the Anti-Defamation League, and they support educational efforts and also promote best practices for academic freedom, inclusion, and anti-bias efforts. They have a lengthy document that they keep updating. It's about 10 pages now of best practices. Not in your packet, but there is a link to it in the supplemental material, and we'd be happy to provide that document of best practices. Also of note and of pride, the National Director of Faculty Engagement at AEN is a former UNLV student. AEN also runs a training program for administrators, which is known as the Signature Seminar. And Chris Heavey was then provost, applied last June, has been participating this university year, and as interim president is continuing in the program, which we're very proud of.
Thank you, Greg. So the Campus Climate Initiative has a comprehensive program consisting of several parts, including one, learning sessions held virtually every other week for members of the campus core team and any others interested. Sessions thus far have been on anti-Semitism, Zionism, the discourse on Israel and Palestine, university legal responsibilities, Jewish racial identity, and academic freedom. The learning sessions continue in the fall. The schedule is in the packet that we provided y'all. At present, the other major work stream for HCCI is to collect data analysis towards a campus climate report that we will be presenting to you, to our leadership in the fall. The HCCI staff for delivery the president later summer this fall. The campus consultation has been underway since the spring. The National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago has conducted three focus groups for students led by Dr. Professor Lieber-Nick and Dr. Levant at the Office of Academic Effectiveness. In preparing the HCCI student survey, we plan to field in early fall. We're also planning additional learning sessions and listening sessions to consult with other groups on campus early fall to ensure that we're hearing from our students, faculty, and staff in our campus partnerships. For more information, the consultation of the campus is a fact sheet is in your fact sheets.
Another part of the Campus Climate Initiative is to review policy and make recommendations. Ordinarily, the national organization, HCCI, contracts this to a national law firm to analyze university policies and make recommendations based on their database of national best practices. However, we have our own legal review team at work of UNLV faculty. It's a subcommittee of our task force led by former Provost Nancy Rappaport and the current dean of Boyd Law School, Leah Chan Grinvall, as well as a really gifted, now graduate, was then a third-year law student and head of the Jewish Law Student Association, Jonah Gavis. Their report is now in draft form. We're finalizing it. It will eventually be submitted for consideration to the senior leadership. And what's very important about this report, and it's indicative of all of our work, is that we're really looking at this from the perspective of university and the university culture as a whole, not simply as advocacy for Jewish students. The final phase of the HCCI program will be the development of a multi-year, what they call action plan, a strategic plan to build values and ideas into the student experience. A lot of that work will be done with student affairs under Vice President Keith Rogers and AVP Deanna Marina Contino. They've already been working with us and have some meetings with their senior staff. And they took a very significant step, we think, last year, naming one of their senior program staff as part of her assignment to work with Jewish student groups in cultural engagement programming. It's the first time that this happened. Overall, that area, the development of that plan and the work with the student life, student affairs, is one that we think will be a very important area for collaboration going forward for UNLV with its Hillel, with its other student groups, and with its community partners.
That ends our formal presentation, but...
You're going to do the current achievements.
Well, so our current achievement, apologies, our current achievement, Anti-Defamation League report card, which we scored a B on that in response to their, and we were told a B is a respectable score from the ADL, so we were very excited about that. A lot of different folks worked on that with us. The diversity dialogues on our campus conversations that we held on campus around different issues. Our survey and focus groups, listening sessions, which will continue into the fall, and then our co-curricular programming with visiting speakers and other areas where we're going to promote on campus.
So as Jose was saying, we have some additional things that we've been working on for the fall already. The task force has been active in hosting and collaborating with other groups on campus and off campus in the community, in hosting educational opportunities, particularly in the form of visiting speakers. In November of 2025, we partnered with Arab Voices for Peace, which is a partnership brought to us by the Israeli-American Coalition, the IAC. It was also sponsored in part by Shakara, an organization that works to foster cultural and economic exchange towards a new Middle East, towards the new Middle East. We've also brought out two Israeli authors, Lee Yaron and Blake Flayton. And March 5th of 2025, we brought an internationally acclaimed journalist and author, Yordana Schwartz, with support from AEN, Hillel, and the College of Liberal Arts at UNLV. We plan to continue this programming in the fall and are already working with another acclaimed educator, Charlotte Korchat. She's a Jerusalem... founder of the Jerusalem Education Initiative, and will be bringing a program to campus called Dueling Initiatives in Israel and in Palestine. The task force is also discussing, and currently in talks with the ADL, at the prospect of bringing a conference in spring of 26 on anti-Semitism and Jewish identity in the regional context of Southwest Urban Community. This is a program that was recently brought to ASU, which is a division or an area that ADL Desert serves.
And there's a couple of other aspects we wanted to share with you. In coordination and collaboration with our wonderful Southern Nevada Interfaith Council, which has been a council in existence for over 30 years, we launched a UNLV RSO interfaith this month, which is going to be collaborating with our student union programming and including faculty student meetups, including a mini conference on interfaith topics, and also including observances of the various religions. Another project will be our pursuit of developing Jewish studies. This fall, we have a history class in Zionism and anti-Zionism, my own class, Religion and Literature in the English department, and and the spring semester, we have a new class, Jewish Literary Heritage, and also Bible as Religion. We are continuing to consult with students and other faculty and community partners on a proposal for undergraduate Jewish Studies certificate that we hope to have several options for micro-credentials and for service learning. Thank you.
So another area that we have been working on, which is a continuation of something we've been working on for many years, is expanding Holocaust and genocide education. Thank you. Since 2019, my home department history, thanks to a community supporter and a collaboration with CSN, has been able to offer an undergraduate Holocaust course every spring semester, which has always been fully enrolled. That's taught by Professor Norma Flores of CSN. As we speak, Professor Flores is attending a faculty seminar on Holocaust and anti-Semitism education at Yad Vashem Museum in Jerusalem. This past year, I co-taught a year-long graduate course in our public history program with another community partner, Nevada Center for Humanity, with help for as well from the Nevada Governor's Advisory Council on Education pertaining to the Holocaust. We were able to build and install an exhibit that the students had curated in Governor Lombardo's Las Vegas office, and that ran from October to March. Over the course of the past year, we had a number of speakers associated with that course who spoke to the university publicly from the USC Shoah Foundation, from the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, and from various local Holocaust education groups. We organized a well-attended and well-covered event on Holocaust Remembrance Day in January, which was hosted by then Provost Hebe, and Mayor Berkeley was the keynote speaker. And we also had a very successful and extremely well-attended version of our annual Holocaust Survivor Seder, which is organized by students with the local Holocaust survivor community.
And we're almost there. Our future opportunities include research, education, student recruitment. Examples of Utah, Tulane have also had successful initiatives around student recruitment of Jewish students based on reputation they have built. Community engagement to enhance our partnership with Jewish Nevada, ADL, IAC, and other community organizations. And then one final point.
So to close, we have really reached out very broadly, both on campus and in the community, had a lot of meaningful and very rewarding involvement with a wide range of student groups. All of those are listed there, with faculty colleagues and with community partners. We've worked really hard making the most of modest but meaningful support over the past year from the Office of the Provost, from Jose's office, from the College of Liberal Arts, from outside groups such as Economic Engagement Network and Hillel International. And we've worked really hard to reach out to other constituencies on campus. I represent our group on the Presidential Advisory Committee, which is an opportunity to work with other affinity group representatives. And through our quite established networks in town and on campus. And this is something that we think is really important objective for the entire initiative, is building and developing stronger ties between the very vibrant Jewish community in Southern Nevada and UNLV. And one of the things that we really want to emphasize is our desire to have that collaboration, so anyone of any background or organization that wants to be involved with us, we would really welcome your support and your involvement. Thanks so much for your attention.
Oh. And I just want to add my sincere thanks to the group. I think you've seen they work incredibly hard during this past year and a little bit more to move this initiative forward and done incredibly impactful work that will have long-lasting implications. It's the entire group has been working hard every day, but the people here have been really the leaders of this effort, and so I'm deeply thankful to them. I also want to recognize that this has often been a blind spot in the inclusion work of campuses, to not be proactively trying to create an inclusive environment for our Jewish students and our Jewish community. And so I think this group has really helped us become more aware of that and to be role models in that space. So I'm deeply appreciative of what they've done. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that presentation, and clearly all the years of hard work from founding the Hillel Club on campus. I am going to turn it over to the regents on the committee first to see if there's any questions or comments. Yep, Jeff.
Thank you, Chair Brown. So on the grade of B, so I assume that that's a reflection of what has been done to the at the institution to this point, or what time frame did the ADL use to score that grade?
I think I can speak to that. This is the very first year that UNLV has been included in this. And having been on the ADL board a couple of decades ago and very close to the people there, a grade of B is amazing. There were 33 Bs. There were 6 As. Three of the 6 A's were Jewish institutions. And so the fact that we achieved this within our first year and these initiatives represented by the folks here and our supportive administration is really quite an accomplishment. In the Southwest region, ASU, U of A were also Bs, so we are definitely, and we have aspirations to improve, as you can see. One of the areas is student involvement was the one area out of the 3 that we could use a little boost, and we have tremendous support from the top down on that effort. Thank you. Do you have further questions?
In terms of what was the snapshot of time they looked at to award that score?
This was this year.
Oh, this year, okay.
This past year.
Okay.
This past year.
Thank you. And the other question I had was, I'm going to have a hard time finding the right, but there it is. So you listed community partners. You have the ADL. You have the Israeli American Council and Jewish Nevada. How integral are they in this overall program and developing these initiatives at the institution?
Absolutely. I work for Jewish Nevada. That's my primary role. We have partnered closely with the university in whatever ways that they have reached out to us with. I also work closely with those community partners to kind of fill in the spaces, who has what resources, who has the right tools, and the right kinds of programs to bring to campus. As a federation, we have brought, I would say, the connection resources of meeting people. The IAC has brought their own resources in bringing out the community, and I know that they've offered programs to our K-12 school system, and the ADL brings their national resources as well. Greg also can talk a bit to that.
So the answer to your question unambiguously is they've been absolutely central. Really, none of this would have happened without those organizations and the individuals who lead them. Quite literally, it was Kat who got the faculty group together for our initial meeting. I have spent a lot of time, and it's been wonderful time. It's been really rewarding personally, meeting with representatives from particularly the groups that you mentioned. I've spent a lot of time with Julie Brislin, who's the executive director for ADL in the Desert Southwest, with Leila Levitan, who is the education coordinator for the Las Vegas Israeli American Council, with Kat, obviously. And I think that one of the things that's really important about that is that Las Vegas has always been a little bit of an anomaly insofar as it's a rich and vibrant Jewish community with congregations and with various social organizations and political advocacy organizations. And it's a rich and vibrant university. But unlike almost every university, the Jewish community is actually underrepresented on campus quantitatively and in terms of visibility relative to the town. And in that sense, I think it has been a case where for a lot of us who have been involved, I mean, it'll be 28 years, our feelings of belonging to the community have been largely outside of our professional role. And that's really where the opportunity, I think, lies, is to make UNLV, our educational curriculum, our cultural programming, our student body, a really central part of that rich and vibrant community. And I really think that that's been, again, for me personally really rewarding, but I think it's probably the most important long-term objective we have.
And a follow-up question, sorry. You said you've had 2 of the 3 focus groups with students. I mean, how many students are involved in these focus groups and Jewish versus non-Jewish students?
So the focus groups specifically are part of the HCCI program. They've been running it again. This is the 6th year. So certain parts of the program were really determined by their team of professionals. So the focus groups are run by the National Opinion Research Center, which is known as NORC. They, by design of the program, do 2 focus groups with Jewish students, 1 focus group with students that don't identify as Jewish. In our case, we then decided to ask them to do, how did we divide it up? Does anybody remember? I think what the distinction was. But the reality is that part of the issue is just getting students to participate. And so the 3 were to have been held, one of them had to be rescheduled. But we have been, in various ways, doing a lot of what we think of as, you know, what Jose called listening, going to speak to CSUN, the student government, going to speak to the Senate, going to a lot of different groups to just talk about what we're doing, but also invite involvement. A lot of one-on-one meetings, a lot of time put in to building on those relationships. And I think that the visibility is really sort of hard to establish at UNLV. It's a big campus. It's not a campus that really runs from the top down. And so that work, I think, is really ongoing. Does that start to get at what you were wanting to hear?
Yeah, I just didn't know, number wise, are we talking, you've met with like 50 students, 20 students?
Oh, you know, the numbers are probably smaller than that, but the purpose of the focus groups is to have qualitative information, and then we came up with the idea of doing the campus-wide survey. That's not usually part of the Hillel program. They do usually what they call a pulse survey, which is like a limited thing. But we have had, because we have resources like Professor Burnick, who is a public opinion survey expert and has done public opinion surveys on the Jewish community statewide, and Dr. Levrant, who also does qualitative research, plus the support of the specific office in academic affairs, which is known as academic effectiveness, which does campus-wide surveys of students on a variety of things. So that is being designed as something broader than what HCCI ordinarily, as it were, recommends, and it's being designed as a campus-wide student survey on religious identification.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Regent Fernandez and then Regent Arascada.
I really want to thank you all for the presentation and really taking the time, UNLV, to really be look inward and provide opportunities. And I think this is really one of the most important aspects of the diversity office, is really seeing and ensuring that all students feel safe and all students and faculty and staff are part of the campus community. And I think as UNLV, one of the most diverse institutions in the nation, really being able to challenge how much better you all can do. As I was looking at the report card here, and this was alluded to at the end, but I had sent it to a friend, and he mentioned, you know, the amount of people that feel afraid as Jewish students to be in a higher education campus, but also on the flip side of that, seeing the report card and saying, wow, I can't imagine, quote, the amount of Californian Jewish students that might look now at UNLV as an opportunity to really feel safe and part of campus. And I think that that is something that I highly commend and really appreciate the presentation, too, of the what you've all been doing in terms of programming and really difficult conversations. I think that there has been a misunderstanding, and, you know, there are political aspects that are beyond our understanding as American citizens, but just being able to bring light to that and being able to bring very diverse voices into your different programming is something that I truly admire and really want to thank the Office of Diversity Initiatives, all of you, and again, thank you for looking to even become a better institution around our student belonging and at all levels. So I just want to commend you all and want to thank you all for what you've done so far and look forward to all the things that are yet to come.
Thank you for that. And just real quick, I want to add, not just around the Jewish Task Force, but over the past year with the leadership of now President Heavey and other administrators, there's been multiple meetings throughout this past year with all of the different student groups concerned about the different issues on campus. And we've been able to maintain an open door to meet with them and regularly through our office, through student diversity programs, student affairs, presidents, the provost office. So there's been all kinds of conversations that we've had throughout this past year to ensure that the student voices are being listened to and that they're involved in the process as we continue to move it and move our campus forward in a positive way that's inclusive and engaging of all of our different student groups on campus.
I have one other thing to what Jose said in response to your question, Regent, which is that, as we all know, conflict is sexy, right? And from outside the university, from outside any organization, conflict gets in the newspaper, conflict resonates, and people think of conflict as what's going on. One of the reasons we took time to be here today, one of the reasons we're really grateful to be on your agenda, is because a lot of this work is something that we feel is not intended to be sexy. It is not intended to solve problems overnight. It is intended to educate. It is intended to do what the university does. The example I like to use of this, and I can give you several, but one that Roberta put together, that there was one day last year when there was a lot of news coverage around an event at UNLV that was conflictual and which generated, it was on all the local TV news. At 4 o'clock that afternoon, after all of the conflict was over, there was a meeting in our diversity lounge that Roberta had organized, which was entitled How to Be a Peacemaker. And it had student groups and faculty leaders, and it was really built on some of the values of the interfaith work that she does. And we did actually reach out to the press, and we did get one reporter to come, and that one reporter did write an article. And I'm really, really proud of that, not because we got to be in the newspaper, but because selling, that is getting people to pay attention to the everyday work of education, to the ways in which there are not clear answers, where there are not clear resolutions, that's the hard part. And that's what we're really, I think, most committed to.
I also have a couple questions, and one of them is in regards to a follow-up that you provided to Regent Downs. And it's regarding the task force fighting anti-Semitism on the campus. You mentioned that there is a small population or an underrepresented amount of Jewish students on campus. What is their pathway to speak with the leadership group that you all shown? Because it's that underrepresented population on campus that are being intimidated, harassed, and spat on campus. What is the leadership in which on page one that you provided, the campus leadership team, what is your response to those students?
So, and thank you for that question, Regent. So it's been a high priority for us at UNLV to make sure that those students have access. And again, and in my role in the year and 6 months that I've been in this position, I've had the opportunity to be involved with most of those conversations. And as things come forward, as students identify concerns, that we have a regular process for meeting with them, which includes the Office of Diversity Initiatives, includes our Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, the Office of Student Diversity Programs and Services, the President's Office, the Provost's Office, multiple layers of folks, and when we need to, where they want to meet with all of leadership, we've had several meetings where it's been the President, the Provost, myself, and other key folks who needed to be there. We've also had multiple sessions where we've had participation with the UNLV police and making sure that when their events are going on, that safety is top priority on our campus, and just creating that space for them to come forward and know that we are listening, know that we're engaging with them, and that when those concerns are elevated, we, whoever needs to be at those conversations, we're able to pull them in and have them there to engage with our students.
Thank you.
I'm going to add one thing because I think it's a really important question that you asked, and one of the things that our group, and particularly Rob Levant and I, spent a lot of time on in the spring of last year, was identifying the processes by which what you're asking about takes place. The compliance office, has a legal responsibility, and that legal responsibility is something that involves very specific standards, and they have a website for doing it, and we have talked to them about enhancing that, and Dr. Sanders joining with our leadership team is a really important moment, and that's something that they're working on. However, there's an awful lot of stuff that happens, and particularly for students, and particularly at a big university like UNLV, where students do feel on their own, that fall short of maybe a Title VI complaint, right? And that's really the space where I think the relationships are the most important. That a student has to be able to feel that either they're a member of an RSO that's going to listen to them, or that they're a professor, or that some other ally on campus will listen to them. And that's something that, again, for me has been one of the most rewarding parts of it, because having students come in and just say, I want to talk to you, and the organization I mentioned, AAN, and specifically the Faculty Against Anti-Semitism Movement, that is a big part of the goal. I mean, I literally have a sign on my door for that. And the idea is that students should feel that they have support and they have allies. And that's always been a problem at UNLV because of the nature of the university and because of the very, very variegated nature of our student body. So it is really, really crucial. And I think the most important thing is, as it were, between the full-on sort of bias complaint or police issue and the just, I'm going to go home and not worry about it. And one of the things that I'm so impressed with and so proud of is our students, because all of last year they really made shrewd decisions on how to avoid being in moments where there was going to be full-on conflict, making their points with resilience, but also avoiding conflict. And so much of what our student groups have done has really been around having people come and discuss rather than, you know, sort of hold rallies or manifests. And I think that's a really, really important ethos that we've really tried to follow in our work.
But with your response that you just provided, you were saying that anti-Semitism is bringing out conflict with others, an unfortunate conflict. But just a little while ago, you said conflict is sexy. There's nothing sexy about conflict. There never has been, and there never will be in my eyes. So,
and I agree with you fully. What I meant, of course, and I think that the context made it very clear, was that's what gets the press coverage. I think one of the things that I had spent an inordinate amount of time doing, and I think there's some senior people in this room that will attest to that, is arguing that we need to do more than just tolerate differences of opinion. Our goal is not just to have differences of opinion. That's fine. But our goal is to educate, and that means bringing people together. And one of the things that I have spent an awful lot of time doing is reaching out even to those people among my colleagues in the faculty, among students, among even people in the community that are involved in things that they feel passionately about, but which to many of the Jewish students on campus is confusing and fits into broader categories that are very scary. And I think trying to make that dialogue possible is really, really crucial. And I think that you're right. And to be very, very clear, conflict is what's in the newspaper. What we're trying to do is to get education in the newspaper.
Thank you. Last question. On slides 5 and 6, the IIC is referenced on both those two, but there's not a representative here from the IOC today. Is there, or can you share why someone is not with us in representation?
Yeah, so let's be really honest, because the IAC is by no means not a major partner. I was on the phone with Lilac yesterday. Regent Brooks can attest to how many times I've written to him to update him and how many phone calls we've had. The specific presentation that we tried to give today drew heavily on the work we're doing in the Hillel Campus Climate Initiative. And insofar as that initiative is intended to be one that's a university initiative to which the Hillel professional, which is Kat, is a part of. That's why Kat is here. This is a presentation on behalf of UNLV. We have, I think, no doubt, and in fact, you know, why people are not here, I'm not sure it's something that was a matter of us deciding. I don't think anybody was told they couldn't come. But it is also the case that putting this together was a lot of work, and we had to do it on extra time. And if there was anybody from IAC who felt that they wanted to be doing this work and wasn't able to, that was simply a miscommunication, because that has never been the way we've worked. And I've been up to have coffee with their chairman a number of times. I talk to Lilac on a regular basis. I can show you the WhatsApp chats if you want to see it quantitatively.
I'll just say real quickly, you know, this is a work in progress. There are multiple conversations that I've had with students across the board, across the campus, where some, being perfectly honest, still don't feel comfortable coming forward and raising their concerns, all that. They put their concerns on the table, but then leave it to us to try to figure out how we work on those. So there's still a component of that. And the other part of this was the priority to the point about community engagement. When we started this conversation, it, for myself as in this role for representing UNLV, is the critical need to ensure that we do everything we can to engage our community-based organizations, their leadership, and our partners in this work. And again, this is a work that's in progress, and we're learning and growing every day as we continue to move these efforts forward and making it a safe and inclusive environment for everyone on our campus. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you. One last question for Dr. Sabbath. Roberta, if you could, please. You mentioned the highly acclaimed score of a B on slide number 5.
Right.
What were the metrics to acquire that high grade?
As I recall, there were over 100, I think 130 or so universities that have been examined. As I recall, there were 3 metrics. I think it was student. What's that?
Rubric.
And the 3, oh, here they are. Were public, thank you, Greg, were publicly disclosed administrative action, which obviously we received the highest points, campus conduct and climate concerns, and Jewish life on campus. So those were the 3 groups. And we can give you.
This is in your packet?
In your packet. So,
Those were the 3 large rubrics in there.
So there's all those bullet points.
And the question, it was like 100 questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was sent to a lot of people.
It was on page 32 of our packet, the very bottom one. But I wanted to make sure everybody here had that also, the knowledge. And I appreciate your responses. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Caravallo.
Thank you. I know we're running a little bit over, but I did want to say thank you for being here today and presenting. Representation matters and collaboration matters, especially for a peaceful campus and a peaceful world. So I hear you that this is an ongoing process, and whatever we can do to assist in that, we are here for you and for all RSOs on our campuses. We think it's very important that you are a part of this conversation, and I truly appreciate you coming today to present to us and traveling to Northern Nevada to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I will turn it over to Regents not on the committee. Regent Brooks.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. Regent Brooks for the record. And thank you so much for being here today and presenting to the board what's happening with the task force. It's certainly important work considering the after effects of the attacks on October 7 and where the institution was at that time compared to where the institution is now. And it's no secret that I've been highly critical of UNOV in terms of how they handled Jewish students on the campus, the experiences that they have, and the fear that they've had for quite some time. And I recognize that there is a change in the culture of how things are getting done at UNOV currently, and I would say that not only is the task force a positive response for why the culture is changing at UNOV, but also importantly is President Heavey's involvement in the way things are moving. And as the president of the institution, he is certainly steering this in a manner that I think is extraordinarily beneficial, not just for students who are on the campus, but for community stakeholders. And there are certainly a lot when we start taking a look at the various groups throughout Southern Nevada. I will say, I think when I read this, it was there were some very positive things that I got to see in this, and also maybe some opportunities. And I think one of those opportunities, and probably a significant one, and Greg had brought some of it up just a few minutes ago, is the availability for all organizations to be a part of the task force in terms of providing feedback and communications, not necessarily in suggesting that the task force move a certain way, but just be involved in those communications. I think having worked with the IAC for a number of years, particularly IAC for Action when it came for the adoption of IRA through this committee, then the full committee and its implementation across the landscape was paramount, frankly. And so I think there are more opportunities for involvement, particularly with students. And when there were a couple of regents that had asked some very specific questions regarding the number of students that are involved in some of the task force initiatives and communications, and we didn't get a number other than there are still some activity that's going on to try to draw students into this. And I think perhaps if there's an opportunity to come back to this committee, it would be great to have an understanding of where students are in terms of their involvement with this, because while there are certainly on one of the slides a list of Jewish organizations that are on campus, I'm not so sure how many of those students and organizations are actually involved directly with what the task force is doing in terms of input and perhaps direction from a student standpoint, so that we're constantly improving the student experience while they're on the campus. So again, I greatly appreciate the amount of work that is being done, because I know it's a tremendous lift to be able to change the culture of things that are happening on a campus. I would just offer to, if particularly with the B grade, right? I'll say when I looked at that, I thought, I'm not so sure that I would offer a B grade, maybe the way things are at this very moment, considering the amount of things that are being done. But certainly, I think if we were to take a look at that, the campus, it would be less than that based on things that have happened in the past and where Jewish students sit now. And from the conversations that I continue to have with Jewish students, there are still, as I have stated before, Jewish students who are on campus who do not want to say they're Jewish. And that, to me, is extraordinarily unfortunate. I do believe that that will change based on leadership that we have, the things that the task force are doing. But I certainly wouldn't want the board or any regent to feel like there's no more work to do and that everything is fine, we've got a B grade, we're moving on to other things. The fact of the matter is there's still a tremendous amount of work to do, and some of it falls within faculty members who are at UNLV. Because while there are students who are afraid to talk about their Jewishness, there are faculty members who are deeply concerned or afraid to speak up to support Jewish students. And that is another disservice that's happening with the student experience on campus. And so again, while I absolutely applaud the initiatives that are taking place right now, I'm just saying if we can proceed with caution in terms of what this really looks like so that we can encapsulate the experiences students are having, Jewish faculty members are having, and the work that needs to be done. So again, thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you for saying that. I think one of the things that's most important for a lot of us is finding ways to get students involved. I mean, we do have, and I can give you the list, I don't want to do it publicly, but of who are the students that have come to the meetings. But I think the hardest thing is, of course, students are busy people too. And so to a certain extent, there's always a balance between wanting their involvement and asking them to take on a lot of extra obligation. And there have been some remarkable students that have done that of their own volition. And I think that for, you know, the sort of average student experience, that's always a challenge, is finding a way for them to feel at home in campus. And on the specific issue, I completely agree with you. I think that one of the things that we are hoping to do through some of the consultations that we mentioned is give students an opportunity to express their views regardless of how often they come to campus, because we have a lot of students that just physically aren't on campus a lot, and also of how they identify and what they want to say. And so, you know, getting student feedback is, to a certain extent, a great challenge, but it's also one that, in our case here, is really an act of commitment and love. And thank you for raising that point in particular.
Again, on behalf of UNLV, thank you, and we look forward, and Regent Brooks, I'll follow up with you. I wrote down some of your thoughts, and so we can get more of your ideas involved with this. So thank you for that time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you guys so much. Okay, we are going to move on to agenda item number 6, and it's my understanding that Dr. Weekly is not joining us, but Juana Gomez, incoming IDEA Council Chair from TMCC, will be giving the report.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. Good morning, esteemed committee and regents. Juana Reynosa Gomez for the record, JUANAREYNOZA - Gomez, GOMEZ. Updates. College of Southern Nevada, CSN's institutional research team partnered with campus units to revise and launch updated data dashboards, enhancing transparency and supporting data-informed decision-making across the college. In response to national shifts and community concerns, CSN established a presidential DEI task force and hosted campus-wide town halls to provide accurate information and promote dialogue. During the spring Achieving the Dream coaching visit, CSN hosted a student panel that provided executive leadership with valuable qualitative insights into the student experience, helping inform strategy and policy. For the first time since 2019, all three of CSN's multicultural centers were fully staffed. The center saw 2,150 visits, 37 events hosted, and over 2,600 event attendees. CSN served as chair of the IDEA Council this year and successfully organized a council retreat attended by the ENCHI board chair and other key leaders, reaffirming our leadership and commitment to statewide collaboration. They partnered with Clark County Department of Family Services to host a foster care awareness event, expanding support for vulnerable student populations. Great Basin College. GBC hosted a mental health expo, serving over 100 attendees, connecting students and community members to over 25 local support resources, including medical and mental health care, creative expression, and indigenous cultural practices, addressing rural access and mental wellness. In celebration of Women's History Month, the Student Government Association facilitated a campus-wide discussion on gender bias and the contributions of women. GBC also sent students and staff to the Northern Nevada Diversity Summit, strengthening regional dialogue on health, culture, and equity. GBC hosted Becoming a Student Ready College, a workshop led by national expert Dr. Tia Brown McNair, equipping the faculty and staff with equity-driven and data-informed strategies to support diverse learners. Through targeted programming and strategic partnerships, GBC continues to prioritize access, belonging, and academic success for all students, reflecting its mission to transform lives through education. Truckee Meadows Community College. The Program Director of Campus Connections now reports directly to the Vice President of Student Services, demonstrating TMCC's strategic alignment of inclusive leadership and student-centered support. The Campus Connections Office hosted the annual Unity Celebration, recognizing 49 graduating and certificate-completing students in an affirming event that fosters community and honors academic milestones. TMCC received its Hispanic Serving Institution HSI Letter of Eligibility, positioning the college to pursue targeted federal funding and expand resources to serve Hispanic and underserved populations. The University of Nevada, Reno. President Sandoval and university leadership consistently elevated messages through campus-wide communication supporting undocumented DACA LGBTQIA2S, American, Asian, Arab American, Asian and Pacific Islander, Jewish American, and Black communities, signaling sustained institutional commitment to equity and belonging. The university hosted a robust lineup of identity-based graduation celebrations and Heritage Month events, promoting student belonging and honoring cultural identity. The IndocuPAC program continued providing critical support services to undocumented and mixed-status students. Through the Academic Leadership Excellence Program, department leaders participated in exclusive leadership training focused on equity-minded practices. The university also recognized DEIA Excellence as its annual Honor the Best ceremony, awarding 3 faculty champions for their impact on inclusion, scholarship, and visibility. The 2025 Northern Nevada Diversity Summit convened over 600 attendees to explore equity, health equity, culture, and well-being. Student voices were elevated through a speech competition, while the Unity and Diversity event and Spring into Action Service Day further embedded civic and cross-cultural engagement across the campus experience. Western Nevada College. In honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, Western Nevada College held a successful Lunch and Learn event featuring Dr. Jafeth Sanchez, who spoke on the key leadership skills in closing the pay gap. The event drew strong attendance from students, faculty, and community members, generating enthusiasm for a planned diversity speaker series in 2025. During a professional development week, WNC's DEI presentation focused on identity and addressing gaps in equity and inclusion to ensure all individuals have equal opportunities to succeed. The session was attended by 21 participants. A session was held to promote awareness and understanding of challenges faced by the LGBTQIA+ individuals, familiarizing attendees with essential concepts and terminology. The session had 9 participants. A dedicated study area in the library has been furnished and decorated with child-friendly furniture, toys, and books, enabling students to bring their young children when childcare is unavailable. The library also partnered with the DEI committee and ASWN to create and display posters highlighting notable Black figures from diverse backgrounds throughout the campus for Black History Month. This display was praised for its visual appeal, informativeness, and educational value. The Associate Students of Western Nevada designed posters featuring notable women from various backgrounds and placed them around campus for an entire month to raise awareness and celebrate their contributions. The University of Nevada, Las Vegas. UNLV submitted its application for the Seal of Excellencia, a difficult process, but if received, identifies institutions as achieving a high level of campus engagement, serving students, and promoting student success. UNLV continues serving and improving campus climate through the task force of Jewish identity inclusion. These Efforts include participation in Hillel Campus Climate Initiative and the Academic Engagement Network. Planning is ongoing for the fifth Student Success and Campus Impact Summit to be held in October. This year's summit will include participation of all Southern Nevada institutions. Nevada State University. In partnership with the City of Henderson, NSU has commissioned a garden mural outside the Dawson Building. Local artists will involve students, faculty, and staff in planning sections of the mural. The campus hosted a series of events recognizing recent graduates, offering students the opportunity to celebrate with invited family and friends. Students joined President Pollard on a visit to the historic West Side meeting with local leaders and exploring key institutions such as Historic West Side School, West Las Vegas Art Center, and the Adobo Collective, which operate a community urban family. That is all my updates. I am available for questions if there are any.
Thank you so much. It has definitely been a busy time across our system. I'm going to open it up to members of the committee to see if you have any questions or comments. Wonderful. Well, I'll just say congratulations on all of the diverse programming that is that feels very intentional. And I love to hear that, you know, all seven of our academic institutions are actively participating, and that's really wonderful. So thank you to everyone for all your hard and continued work. Okay, we will move into agenda item number 7, new business. Do we have any new business items from the committee? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move into public comment. Is there any public comment here at UNR? Seeing none, SES, do we have any public comment on the phones?
There are no callers at this time.
Thank you so much. And with that, we will adjourn the IDEA committee at 9:55. And the ARSA committee will start at 10:05.